Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Kelly, here.
Helping the world. Absolutely. I don't have any doubt about that. The question on something like this is this a real, is it a real crisis, or is it a political, it's a political event that is put under the name of science. See what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But, I think he, going along with the shepherd analogy, I think he has to wear for any danger,
okay,
whether imagined or real. I mean, there could be a wolf in the woods. He doesn't know that, but he still has to wear for that, don't you think?
Well, I mean, certainly there is the. All right, so we have to ask ourselves, what is the Pope? The Pope is the leader of the
Catholic Church.
It's the Catholic Church, but what is his? I mean, what is his job description? I mean, what is his authority?
I don't know. I don't know his exact authority, but I would think his authority is. I lost my line of thought.
No. I'm trying to follow you out here. Yes, I mean, in general, I think. Okay, if you went to you were a shareholder in Coca-Cola, and the CEO of Coca-Cola got up and gave a speech at the shareholders meeting, and the speech was dominated by global warming. I guess I'm trying to think, like, what would be your, you know, what would be your impression of that? And so, you know, like the Pope is kind of the CEO of the Catholic Church, but it's also, right, it's not just a business entity. It's obviously by great degree a spiritual entity, and all of the, you know, all of the implications, right, of that.
Well, you know, as a CEO of a liquid beverage company, I would be concerned about the disappearance of water.
Well, yeah.
because it's gonna have domino effects on his business and trying to keep that product coming out.
Yeah. I could see that. Well, I mean, okay, so I mean, it comes back to me in my mind. It is, the issue is this a political event masquerading as science, and therefore is it an event of far leftism that everybody has been pretending for decades that is really science? It seems to me like that
I see where, yeah, you're going. Is the Pope trying to gain a political influence? But I don't see how that is. Well, when they have so much influence already, influence over what, over a billion people, somewhere
maybe,
around there.
Maybe he wants to become bigger than Elvis, you know?
Right. Well, that, I think that's the whole premise behind the Bible, is to encourage people to believe in God.
Okay, here's a separate question. Does the Pope have a right to be a communist if those claims are true?
I don't understand communism very well.
Well, one of the strongest implications of communism is that there is no God, or that the religion is a complete hoax, and it's up to mankind to take the place of religion. I mean, that's clearly in the teaching. So that's why governments under communism are so strong. And in without communism, you've got the tension between church and state. There's two.
Well, that would be contrary to the,
yeah,
church's doctrine, I
Absolutely.
Believe.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
wouldn't communism be contrary? Wouldn't it,
yeah,
be oxymoronic? I mean.
Yes. Well, it depends on the. Yeah, of course it would be. But what, you know, we don't know what the Pope's theology is. But I would think that you know, there's a lot of these churches, especially in South America, in some of these other areas, that buy into a type of Marxism. Which,
right,
which is, you know, it's rampant in the church in say in South America. So it brings up a very interesting paradox.
Right, I understand that, but okay, say there was a communist that, hello.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. Say there was a communist that had a loaf of bread in his hand.
Sure.
And there was a Catholic that also had a loaf of bread in his hand. The Catholic is going to charge for that bread, but the communist is going to give that a piece of that bread freely to that starving person.
Wow!
Which one is right? Which one is wrong?
I never noticed him charging for the holy wafer in the Catholic Church. I was raised Catholic.
Well,
so.
I'm just trying to make a point. It may be a bad example, but
it's actually a great example, because I think this idea that communists in Marxism is pure-hearted is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. There's been more people killed in the history of the world by Marxism than any other,
right,
all of the rest of the,
well,
doctrines combined.
I'm not advocating communism, but you can see my point. I can see where you're going. We're going along the lines of socialism and how you know, that's a great wrong.
Well,
but
I mean,
if a socialist is going to give a starving person a piece of bread, and the opposite side is going to say, well, there's conditions to this bread.
Okay.
You know, I mean, well, who's right and who's wrong?
Well, I will just say this: there's never been a successful socialist or Marxist communist country in the world, but there have been many examples of failed ones. I'd say it's a complete hoax.
There's been many examples of failed posts.
Richard, you're not.
I'm sorry.
Trust me, you're not going to win. I'll just take the mic down. You're not going to win that battle. But the fact is that there have been many, many failed examples of socialism and Marxism, and it's killed hundreds of millions of people. Richard, I've got another call here, but thanks for the second call, and it's a great topic. Yeah, Kelly O'Connell here. And okay, so we missed that. All right, let's take a little break here. By the way, I'm not anti-Catholic in any way, but I having been raised Catholic, but I'm just kind of surprised at this some of the statements of this Pope. But anyway, 6:37, and we'll be right back. This is AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Oh, well, it's Kelly here, of course, and it is 6:42, and I got some real nice rain yesterday, real nice rain, and it came down, in a flurry, so if you're a gardener, got to be happy with that. All right, here is, well, we've been talking about the Pope. Now, I find this Pope to be very interesting because he really is, from what I can tell, a man of the people, sincere. A sincere person, and I'm sure he's a heck of a nice guy. You know what I'm saying? But if you wanted a Pope to have some perhaps Marxist leanings, a little sympathy there, you'd want to pick him from South America, probably. But anyway, I got a clip here on the Pope. Now, what difference, you say, we're separating church and state, and that's our whole purpose in life, right? People act like there's going to be some incredible reward if we get a spiritual vacuum and suck all the religion out of government and society, right? But what difference does it make what the Pope says or thinks? And since the very beginnings of the church, there's always been this tension between the secular realm and the civil realm. And because of that tension, there is going to be an influence from the Pope or other religious leaders on the thoughts of people and then their actions and government leaders and everything. And so the person who tried to get rid of that, I guess, was not just Marx, but it was all of the Marxists together were trying to get rid of this what they saw as an untoward influence. And it turned out to, what do they say? The cure was worse than the disease. Anyway, so here's a little clip. This is from Time Magazine on a 192-page document leaked by the magazine La Espresso on Pope Francis's first major teaching letter on climate change and its effects on the planet's poor. Check it out. Well, it looks a little stuck here, so we'll come back to this on the break. I'll have to have to figure out a way to get this puppy to work. But anyway, so what is the what's the upshot here, Kelly? Well, to me, it would be not a good thing if the Pope were a communist. Now, I'm not saying that I know that he's a communist, but and I've said it on the show before, I've asked the question, is the Pope a communist? And the answer is I don't know, but certainly all of the or many of the things that I've heard him say especially in the beginning of his reign, really reminded me of that. But here's that clip. Looks like this might be a little stuck. Anyway, all right, so here we go. Well, let's get into his teaching a little bit later. All right, here's my main concern is that, and this has been true for quite a while, the church in some ways is very conservative. It's for the family. It's against abortion, all these things. On the alternative, though, there have been a number of ideas and actions associated with priests or the Pope or the cardinals, the Vatican, that have been very progressive. And, for example, community organizing is what our president used to do. The main community organizer was this guy, Saul Alinsky. He wrote his book, Rules for Radicals, and dedicated it to Satan. And that was all made possible by a bishop in Chicago that showed him how to work all this stuff. So there's this tension in the Catholic Church between the left and the right that has had huge implications on the world that we know. And anyway, we'll take a little break here and be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. It is 6:54, and I've got for you and a summary of this Pope's 192 Italian language version of this encyclical to be released Thursday, and it was leaked by La Espresso. Of course, the Pope's staff said this is a heinous act. Heinous. Laudato Si is meant to influence the United Nations climate talks. Okay, what's in it? What is in the Pope's encyclical, you ask? I can't wait. I'm breathless. Number one, okay, global warming is real. By the way, this is from the National Journal. Two, fossil fuels are a problem. Three, governments should act on climate change and do it right. Number four, poor people are feeling the impact of climate change. Number five, rich countries should take the burden. All right, so you've got the the outline of something there. All right, so let me ask you this. Let's just say you're a card-carrying, just a full-throated member of the Catholic Church. How do you feel about this? So we got a phone call. Thanks for the call to Kelly on the show. Who's this?
This is Susan.
Susan, could you turn down your radio, please?
Is it down?
Yeah, you can tell it. If it's not down, it echoes. Yes, go ahead, Susan.
I just wanted to make the comment that was made earlier that they said the Catholic Church would charge and that the socialists would just give it away.
Yeah.
And my question is, well, but doesn't the socialist take it away from someone first?
Yeah.
And then, and if...
Beautiful.
You're referring to the Pope, so is he taking it away from someone and still turning around and selling it again?
That's a great point. For the government to give anything to anybody else, it's got to be produced by a private citizen. Beautiful point.
Thank you.
Beautiful point. And whether the Pope takes that stuff away, the Catholic Church is fabulously wealthy. What right they have to get up and preach about the poor, I don't know.
Well, I think what it all boils down to is everybody should have their own discernment. And
yes, I agree.
Because, you know, if people start quoting scriptures and stuff like that, well, then didn't it say we have to earn our keep by the sweat of our own brow?
Yeah, Paul, if a man does not work, he shall not eat.
Yeah, so, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around all over the place. I think what it amounts to is personal responsibility and the fact that we have to learn. We have to teach ourselves what is right, what is wrong,
okay,
and live accordingly.
Susan, let me ask you a question.
You know, by the fruits of their labor, you will know who they are.
Exactly. So it sounds like you're a believer or you're a Christian. You consider yourself a Christian?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And are you Catholic?
No. Okay. No, I'm not.
Apparently not. Okay, Susan, thank you very much for the call. I'm running out of time, but you made a beautiful point, really appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Got another call here. This is Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly's Mike.
Mike, we got I would say it to anybody else, 1 minute.
5 seconds.
For you, 30 seconds. 5 seconds. Go ahead.
The Vatican and the Rothschilds are in bed together.
Must be a pretty big bed. Thanks for the call. Yeah, it must be more than a king-sized. Pope-sized. You got king-sized. Forget king-sized beds. What you need, my friends, is a Pope-sized bed. All right, so here's the thing that I want to ask you before the sands run through the hourglass. If you're a Catholic, how would you feel about the Pope getting up and giving 192 pages on global warming and then finding out that the global warming is wrong? And the reason I'm asking you that is because the best science that has just come out on the data trends of all of the stations in the United States say we're in the midst of a 10-year cooling trend. It's cooling in America. It's not warming. And there's a big concern that the long-term trend around the Earth is not warming. It's cooling. What do you think about that? You card-carrying Catholics. Anyway, all right, Kelly O'Connell and AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE will be back with Walter Rubel. It's the Pope of the Sun News. Did you hear any of the show? There was this encyclical that has been released, and it's all about. It's 7:06, 6/16/2015, and got Walt Rubel here with me this morning, and got a lot of water, a lot of rain that's going to be coming into Texas. It's this tropical, what was it, Tropical Storm Bill?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Houston is supposed to get hit.
I kind of liked it when it was female names. I don't know why, but.
Yeah, me too. Is that sexist? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how you define sexism. So
yeah,
I just have heard the term thrown around a lot. But I liked it when the storms were maybe because the female psyche seems a little more emotional.
That's, well,
unpredictable,
and,
you know, a little bit.
And that was at an era when all of the scientists who were making those decisions were men. And, you know,
by the way, there's a huge deal, and I don't know if you followed it. A Nobel Prize winning scientist has been thrown out of the academy.
No, I hadn't heard that.
In England, because he said that female scientists should not be working alone. And I, from what I understand, he was saying it as a joke, and it was communicated because they're emotional, and it was communicated to other people. And he said that he was fired or removed. He was removed from faculties or fired from committees and stuff like that without anyone ever even calling him to talk to him.
I hadn't heard that, but that boy, that, you know, I mean, it's not hard to believe that that could happen. And, well, I understand the thinking behind it.
What is the thinking?
Well, the thinking is that even in telling jokes, you can do harm to people. But come on, we got to grow a skin.
The tears of a clown.
We got to grow a skin here, folks. I mean, you know.
What can we do to push back, Walt? Because, I mean, in every violent revolution, the children of the revolution are kind of eaten by it. And so it seems like the PC revolution is becoming more and more muscular.
Do you think so? Maybe. There's some evidence of that.
I'm not talking about a literal PC revolution that comes in.
No, no, I know what you
people,
mean.
But you're taking great people and destroying them.
Yeah, yeah.
In the name of PC.
Yeah.
So what can we do?
Speak out. I don't know what else. I mean, if you have the ability to vote, and in this case, we don't get to vote on who is on the Nobel Committee, but write letters, speak out. I don't know. But what else can you do?
His name is Tim Hunt. I've been hung out to dry. They haven't even bothered to ask for my side of affairs, and we've got a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Karen. Hey, Walt.
Hey, Walt. Karen's saying hello to you.
Good morning, Karen.
Hey, what has to happen is that these freaking women, Kelly, need to step up and say, knock the crap off.
Yes.
This is just stupid. It's absolutely stupid because now men, well, and it has been this way, but now it's even more pronounced, men are afraid to have a conversation about this. Yes, for the most part, women are difficult to work with. Women are emotional and on and on and on. And if I had my choice, I would much rather work with more men than more women.
God bless you, Karen.
But it's true, and most women will admit that, but this PC garbage has got to stop. And for any women that were in, I don't know where this gentleman worked, but I did read about it, they should have just stepped up en masse and said, no, you let him talk. We may not agree with it, but it is true. You let him talk, and you don't let him go. It's outrageous.
Well, I mean, here you've got a guy who won a Nobel Prize, and anybody who knows anything knows how difficult, how competitive and difficult. And a lot of times these Nobel Prizes are given to people who've literally changed the world.
That's right. That's right. And because he had an honest conversation from his point of view, he's gone.
Well, and he says it's a joke. So he, you know, I mean, you're taking it farther than he at least says now, but that he didn't intend it as a serious statement. He was just joking.
Yeah.
But you know, honestly, Walt, I mean, really, women do cry more than men, and women do get emotional, even if they're
but
not in the
true,
wrong and they have to report
angry.
A problem.
No, this is going to be a strange argument, but all of that is true, but it is also true that men get angrier. Men let their testosterone take over sometimes in conflict situations. I mean, I think there's a give and take.
I'm sure Kelly's not offended that you said that. And
actually,
what I said is not offensive. It's just how women respond, and it's how men respond. That's what I'm saying. When you say that men get angrier and blah, 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 the men in the room and they're at that radio station, they're not getting pissed at you because you said what is, you know, by nature true.
Right, right. But the point I'm trying to make is that I think professional people can rein that in both sexes. And I worry that we can't exclude women because there's an awful lot of brain power and there's an awful lot of ability there that if we say, no, you're too emotional, you know, we can't let you contribute. I don't think that's the answer.
Well, no, and but I'm sure in that aspect he was joking.
Yeah.
I'm sure nobody wants to exclude women. Women contribute a ton.
That's right.
But if but women in the workplace, in this institution where he was at, if they didn't step up in mass and said this is ridiculous, shame on them. Because it has to be the women that stop this.
That's right. That's exactly
anyway,
right. Well, you know, but Karen, let's
yeah.
take it back a step. It's got to be the women then, according to your theory. It's got to be the blacks. It's got to be the gays. It's got to be
well,
the
because,
short
you know, Kelly,
people.
The men can step up and say this is absurd. But just like, you know, what we might think about the black community or, you know, these black leaders who are, you know, revving everybody up. But it actually has to come from when, you know, everybody has a say.
From the so-called victims. From the so-called
yeah, yes.
victims?
Yes. But it actually has to come from within that individual community.
All right, so let me ask you, Karen, are you following the media where Jerry Seinfeld, who's considered to be the, I'm sure,
uh-huh.
the most successful comic of his generation,
yes.
stands up and says, you know, political correctness has gone too far. And a mm-hmm. number of people, I've actually got a segment on this that I never got to in the last couple of days. I did mention it, but there's a number of comedians that have stood up and said, I agree. And now they're saying, well, you don't understand. Oh, it's so sad what's happened to Jerry Seinfeld. He's a dinosaur. I mean, what in the heck is going on in this Western society in which everybody who sticks their head above the parapet has to be sacrificed? What do you think about this, Mr. Rubel?
I didn't hear that with Jerry Seinfeld, but you're right. That is always the reaction to that. And the truth is that Jerry Seinfeld had... I wasn't a big fan of the show, but I know people who were obsessed with the show, who can recite line after line.
Was the Pope one of these people?
No,
oh,
no.
Okay,
people,
right.
The Pope and I are not on that those kinds of terms. But at any rate, and he is still incredibly relevant. Those people are still huge fans of his. And so, you know, the people taking pot shots, let them take pot shots, I guess, but they're wrong.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It is our world. It's our job to care for it. Just like the Pope is saying we got to care for the world for global warming.
Right.
We've got to care for the world in terms of ideas and in terms of freedom of expression. We've got to keep it clean. To me, political correctness is like a bunch of garbage on the ground.
I agree. We have to be able to debate these things. We have to, like I said, we have to grow a skin. And you have to be able to discern whether somebody has malice or not. Or, you know,
that is so true. In the law, you have to have intentionality, right,
yeah,
to really get
right.
the worst punishment. In all of these things, it is it's the same thing as speeding. It doesn't matter if you meant to speed because you speeding by itself outside of intention is illegal. If you run afoul of these politically correct rules, it doesn't matter if you meant to. You've got to be, you know, have a public execution, you know. The
yeah,
symbolic...
And that's what has to change. It
yeah,
really
it's got
is.
To change.
May I say one last thing?
No, not if you're female, Karen. But no.
Yeah. See, I'm not insulted. I find that funny.
Don't make it emotional.
Yes. Walt, did you hear Bill Maher recently, too? It's because, and I'm not trying to say, you know, right, left, liberal, progressive, conservative, but it really, honestly, Walt, it is your side that is trying to shut down back and forth and dialogue.
Boy, Bill Maher got killed more than anybody in this country after 9/11. And you know, maybe rightfully so. What he said was pretty inflammatory.
Yeah,
but you
have you heard him recently on the topic
correct.
That we're discussing right now?
I'm sorry?
Have you heard him recently on the topic that we're discussing right now?
No.
Yeah, well, you should just pull up a video from his recent shows, because he delves into this also, that the left wants only the conversation that agrees, that is in
okay.
line with their
it's
beliefs.
It's very clear. They've created an environment out there, and they just got to be thrilled with themselves, in which you either agree or
you're going to be maligned.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing. You're pushed out of the public discourse. And the thing is, what if your religion says that gay people shouldn't
no,
get
that's
no,
a
let
fair
me
point.
No yeah but you know
I'm,
somebody no sorry I just want to make the point so people can hear it, because yeah. when we in a room full of people, if you talk over one another, everybody can hear it, but because it's over the radio, you can't really hear more than one person at a time. But if your religion says you shouldn't be married, two people the same gender shouldn't be married, why are the people that believe that sincerely and that are not trying to harm others Why are they maligned so deeply? What do you think?
I think it's a fair point. I think that you can have that position and not be a bigot. And let's face it, that's what they are called. That is the word that we hear over and over. I think it's a fair point. I don't know what else I can tell you on it.
Karen, anything else?
No, I'm just, it's a great conversation. Hopefully other people will call up and join in.
Oh, hopefully all of our conversations are great, Karen.
It is. I'm offended.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. All right, so here's a salute to not just women, but to Caitlyn Jenner. This is from Helen Reddy. I'm a woman.
Hear me roar.
Yes. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connor Show. Have the delightful Walt Rubel with me today, and we will be back at 7:17 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOB. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. Good morning. It's Kelly here, AM Las Cruces, 1450, and 523-1450 to call in. And I've got Walt Rubel here. We're talking about PC. I mean, we've got a lot of things to talk about. I want to mention something that he talked about before. He mentioned to me off the air. Pope Francis does have a degree, or he at least worked briefly as a chemical technician and then a nightclub bouncer before before becoming the Pope or becoming a priest. So, all right. But I wanted to talk about PC here a little bit. First, let's get back to the thing that we were talking about, this Nobel Prize winning doctor. There is stuff to talk about locally, the county and everything, but this is a hot topic to me, and I think it is to Walt as well. PC, whether the PC movement is going to take the society completely over and make us unable to have freedom of speech. You cannot have predetermined, everything cannot be predetermined, what you can talk about and can't talk about, what your opinion is allowed to be versus an illegal opinion, and it still have freedom. But here's a little clip on Tim Hunt, who was kicked out of, he's a Nobel winning scientist, kicked out of all of his stuff. I mean, I really don't want to go into this. Yeah. This is the only clip that I could find on it, but he says that he was taken out of contest. He was saying it lightheartedly, and a number of women came and communicated, maybe along the lines of what Karen was saying. A number of women came out and said, this guy's actually had a big impact on my career.
Right.
This guy helped me. He's not sexist. He is for women in science. He has gone out of his way to be helpful and encouraging. So, Walt, what can we do practically? You're a newspaper guy. I'm on the radio. What can we do to fight back against PC? You're a little more liberal. I'm a little more conservative. Mm-hmm. But it's in our common interest to have more freedom of speech, isn't it?
Well, in the spirit of what you were talking about, what we were talking about with Karen, where you were saying it's up to, or she was saying it's up to women to push back. In that spirit, let me say that I think on the left, there is a valid point to be made that if you disagree with global warming, you are a flat earth denier. If you disagree with same-sex marriage, you are a bigot. The left has to stop that. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen on the right as well, but I do think that type of demonization, I'm trying to find a better word because
it's really demagoguery. It's misusing words to mischaracterize people.
That's right. And I guess the same thing when every left idea is socialist, you can say, okay, that's...
Well, I've probably been a little bit guilty of that in this show, too, when I realized that although technically speaking, a lot of our ideas come from Marx on the left, or they derive from the people who were immediately associated with Marx. At the same time, everything is not Marxism.
Right.
And I think we profit by describing some ideas as socialist, others as progressive, others as, you know, more liberal or whatever. But that also puts an emphasis or an expectation on the audience or the people you're communicating with to have a little bit of background or information on the topic, because some of this stuff is very dense. And we got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hi, good morning, Kelly. It's Bev.
Bev, good
Courtney.
Morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks. I thought I'd weigh in on the political correct issue because as a gun instructor and gun owner, we suffer that a whole lot just everywhere, right here in the community. For instance,
you suffer
last
from
year, right here in the community, the PC police are anti-gunners.
Yeah. Oh, to have and a so gun. They,
yeah. So they silence the historical conversation about guns in America, and they propagandize it like they put on the front of every school. And this is the government. Okay, they put on the front of every school gun-free zone. And then last year, the authorities were harassing some little boy for having a water pistol at a church function. That's PC, and that's
he could have been in the fire brigade at the picnic. But what's your reaction to this?
Signs at the front of a school saying "gun-free zone" are not making a political statement. They're trying to keep guns out of the school.
But you know, here's the thing, and I'll maybe speak for Bev on this a little bit too. On all of these school shootings, if there was someone in the school who had a gun, these people that are maniacs are not going to follow any laws.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you know, the other side would say, look at the Fort Hood shooting. You know, it's an army base. There were plenty of folks
there weren't. No, no. What you don't understand, and what I didn't find out until that shooting, I didn't actually understand it. They've taken weapons away from the soldiers on these bases. Nobody had a gun to shoot back on this guy.
It's ridiculous. A soldier can't have a weapon on the base like we can't. It divides us against each other because it sends a message that we can't trust our fellow Americans.
But more than that,
on the schools, that sends a message to every child that goes in there every single day of the year that there's something wrong here. This is our teachers and our parents and our system.
Okay, hold on.
And they're saying gun-free zone like
Bev,
it's an evil thing. You
Bev.
Know it's changing
those
right, kids' thinking.
So go ahead and respond.
Well, no, the only point is it's a different argument. Would the school be better if maybe one person had a gun, maybe a handful of trained people had guns?
But look, you can't avoid this issue. In places where people are not allowed to have guns, they're sitting ducks, and these maniacs are coming into the, for example, this kid knew James, whatever his name was,
Holmes,
up in Colorado. He knew that nobody in the theater would have a gun. It's like a shooting gallery, so he's just shooting methodically at people. If you had allowed hidden carry in there or anything else, somebody would have returned fire, and it would have been a totally different situation.
My friend in Wyoming, who I talk about occasionally, his son, who is in his early 20s, has a gun everywhere he goes. So anybody who presumes that a movie theater, nobody in
that
theater has a gun.
All right, in that particular theater, nobody else had a gun to shoot back at this guy, and it was a massacre. You can't defend gun rights by saying that only the bad guys are allowed to have guns because they don't follow any laws.
But you can try to keep the bad guys from getting guns, and that's what the other side is completely
it's
given up on.
It's too late. The genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah,
Bev, what do you think?
I completely disagree.
What do you think?
I think that it's like a sinister scheme of divide and conquer. Look, 50 years ago, kids drove their pickup trucks with their rifle in the window, and they didn't have to worry about hurting each other. Now, you throw out you can't have a Bible in school, but you can practice witchcraft. At the same time, well, those witches, are they going to be good moral citizens? And can they all go around carrying guns? Probably not.
Well,
but
anyway,
Christians can.
Bev, hold on.
And moral people can.
Bev, folks, if I try to interact with you, please let me.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I get
so
off
just,
to the light again.
Let's tackle one issue at a time. And anyway, Bev, I appreciate the call, and have a good day. All right, we got to take a break here. But anyway, my argument, and I'm sure Bev's argument, is that, you know, if you allow more guns as opposed to less guns, the law-abiding citizens will follow the rules. You know, but how are you going to get rid of these hundreds of millions of guns in this society? Are you going to go house to house?
No, you're not. And people who believe that's going to happen are absolutely wrong. But shouldn't we have background checks at gun shows?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
why don't you know? What is the argument against background checks at gun shows?
Here's my response to you. I'm in favor of less as opposed to more rules. Let's give everybody a gun. Give and teach kids how to use guns. Give everybody a gun. Here's Here's
give them a gun. The government gives them a gun. That's your idea.
Why not? You're raping and pillaging.
So
the,
don't give them food. You're
raping
food stamps,
and
but
pillaging.
You want the government to give everybody a gun.
Well, everybody in this country are who? Show me the people other than what's the eating disease where you bulimia or whatever.
Bulimia,
the only people that are skinny in this country are bulimics. The problem in America isn't lack of food or food stamps. It's there's so many fat people. The government. Anyway, we're here with Walt Rubel, and just had a good call from Bev. I can't stand
it's
anymore.
Not Helen, a chicken in every pot. It's a gut in every holster.
Yes. There we go. Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood, Summer Wine. I can't stand Helen Reddy. We'll be right back. 7:31, a Kelly O'Connell show. Call in and get into this, and we're going to continue on our anti-PC crusade. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. It's Karen. Can I ask Walt a quick question on air?
Oh, yeah. I'll put you on hold. I just want to make sure that this guy. I got to bet everything. Well done. Well done. It's Kelly here. I've got Walt Rubel with me, and I've got Karen calling back, and Karen has a question for Walt.
Hey, Walt. I'm curious. Are you pro carry conceal?
I am. Yeah, I am. I have mixed feelings about it. I talked with John Heaton, who was the representative from Carlsbad, who introduced that and got it passed for the first time, and he's a Democrat. A fairly conservative Democrat. I mean, from Carlsbad, you can't be real liberal and get elected. And his point was that he had heard from rape victims and from women who, you know, had to walk alone at night at work to get to their cars, things like that. And, you know, yes, that makes sense why somebody in that position would want that kind of protection. I get that.
Walt is an agonizing concealed carry person.
Well, what I wanted to suggest to Walt, and, you know, you don't have to say yay or nay right now, but just to consider, because I do like reading your editorials and your Sunday article, too. I would love for you to consider taking a carry conceal class. And even if you don't shoot the gun, if you just went out there while they did that, but, you know, you would have the full-day class, and then you go to the range the following day. I would love for you to take that class and then write about it and see what your opinion is after that. And if you were ever to say yes to that, if you would take it through Jaime Chavez, because that's who me and my little clan all took it through.
Okay.
And it was the most amazing time I ever had. It was 15 hours, maybe 14 hours. But I would love for you to go through that process, hear what the experts have to say, watch how we're trained, and then come back and write about it. And I would love to get your opinion on that.
Okay.
And you know, I must say, because, you know, I'm 5'1", and I'm 115 pounds. I'm tiny.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not being allowed, having the right, not allowed, having the right to not carry if I've gone through the classes and passed.
Right. I get that. I do.
Yeah, so would you please consider doing that?
I will.
Okay. Jaime Chavez. Sorry, Bev, but it's just because that's who we went through is Jaime.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Karen. All right, so Bev Courtney and her group do Bev teaches
as well. That's right.
As well. So get a hold of Bev Courtney. All right. So let's get back to this PC thing. I've got a little. Here's probably Bev. Kelly O'Connell, who's this?
This is Michael.
Michael, thanks for calling in. And what's going on?
Well, I did take the concealed carry from Bev, and she's very, very good at what she does. And a lot of stuff I've shot guns all of my life. And, you know, I was amazed both technically and philosophy-wise, all the things I could learn. But let me ask Walt a specific question, which is, can we really stop the citizens of our country from having drugs?
No.
Can we stop them from illegally possessing guns?
Guns? Was that the question?
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
All right. So since we know we can't stop people of bad intention of having a gun, why do we go to a school, put up a sign that says no one here is going to have a way of resisting? I mean, it is fish in a barrel when you do that. I don't really like open carry, and I guess I go against all of my brethren. I like concealed carry where the perpetrator has no idea whatsoever who has and who hasn't. So all of a sudden, this perpetrator is surrounded by 100 people. Maybe none of them have a gun. Maybe two or three have a gun. They don't know which ones have it. I like that about concealed carry.
Here's what I don't like. Maybe one on his right side has a gun, and maybe one on his left side has a gun, and maybe they both shoot at the same time and miss. And maybe they hit somebody else. That's what I don't
like. It's like Super Mario. Anyway, Michael, thanks for the call. I got to take a break here. Have a good day. All right, folks, we'll take a little break here and be right back. I got a couple of clips, one from Seinfeld, the other from Bill Mayer is an excellent clip. And, folks, we got to fight back against PC, and we will be right back. Kelly here and with Walt Rubel. And all right, so let's get to a couple of clips here. Let me first play a little bit from Jerry Seinfeld. And we got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
This is Susan again.
Yes, Susan, thanks. Go ahead.
I'd like to make a kind of a response to Walt's reasoning is that he was afraid that the one on the right and the one on the left are going to miss the, you know, shoot someone else. I think that's a false premise because eventually the person that went in there intentionally to shoot at people is going to win the battle because there's still going to be some dead people left laying around. At least we have a hope that somebody on the right and someone on the left will eventually get the guy that's in the middle intentionally trying to shoot everybody else.
I get that. I don't get why people are against background checks. I don't get why we would not want to try to stop people from with mental illness or a violent history. Why would, and can we do it 100%? That was my response when I said no. No, we can't do it 100% like we can't do it 100% with drugs either. But does that mean we don't try? I don't think so.
Oh, well, and there I agree with you. I think, you know, it is responsible to have background checks. But eventually, in the end, it's those people that are honest about their intentions that will submit themselves to a background check.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. And don't get me wrong, I'm not for confiscation. That's not what I'm saying I support. I understand why people want to have that level of protection.
All right, Susan, thanks again. Thanks for the second call. Have a good day. All right, folks, I got a little clip here from Seinfeld for you. Check this out. And that we're talking about something bigger than guns. It's PC. It's called freedom of speech. All right, so that last guy was from MASH, Wayne Rogers, but here on the kind of to carry on the idea, Bill Mayer talking to Jeff Ross. It's not coming on over. All right, so Walt, kind of echoing what you were talking about a little bit earlier. Folks, let's take a break here. We'll be right back to finish this up. I guess, are we going to talk about anything in the county?
Boy, there's a lot to talk about.
But, okay, we'll come back and talk about that. Kelly O'Connell with Walt Rubel, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. We'll be right back. Kelly here, and I've got Walt in the studio. And Walt, so what's going on in the county?
I don't know. We were talking about this off the air. All of these things are happening at the same time.
All right, from your own paper, county IT head placed on leave.
Right, and we don't know why.
And but I mean, it's related to this scam, or
they
not?
Say no. They say we can't tell you why it happened. The only thing we can tell you is that it isn't related to this county clerk scam. And just coincidentally, she was hired on the same day.
That's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird. So you have that going on. You have Julia Brown, the county manager, giving lie detector tests to every employee in the roads department. I mean, there are big shakeups going on in county government.
Talk a little bit about the lie detectors. What's going on there?
Well, this stemmed from complaints from employees. Theft being probably the most concerning one, but also, you know, abuse of employees, those types of things. And so in response to that, Julia Brown, the county manager, has called in or has required every person in that department, managers included, to take a lie detector test. There were a handful who chose not to take the test, and they were terminated. Now, were those folks trying to cover up theft? Were they trying to cover up illegal activity? I don't know. As has been pointed out in the sound off column we have in the paper, lie detector tests aren't foolproof. They aren't allowed in court because, you know.
They are allowed in court only in New Mexico.
You're kidding. That is one of the most common things out. You know, everybody just assumes lie detector tests aren't allowed in court.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Julia Brown should take a lie detector test?
I don't know. Sure. I've got no problem with that if you're requiring that of others. But
Lynn Ellens take a lie detector test?
I know that he cannot be required to, as opposed to Julia Brown, who could be.
So should Lynn Ellens step down?
You know, we got into this before. I think no.
Because your idea is the only way that people leave office is either when their term expires or in a pine box.
No, I think David Gutierrez should step down.
Oh, okay.
I mean, see, I think there are two. David Gutierrez did something himself. Lynn Ellens was the supervisor when people who worked for him did things that were illegal, allegedly.
Golden Hills Retirement Home has offered him a month stay to test.
You just don't like Lynn Ellens because of the gay marriage ruling.
Well, Lynn Ellens DeGeneres? No, you know what?
But tell the truth. I mean, he has brought a level of professionalism to our election that did not exist before.
Obviously, he's very professional, and we see that playing out right now, correct? Are you saying that what is going on at the county clerk's office is a professional level?
I am saying that our elections have been run more professionally under his leadership.
Because
I was here before him. That's how I know. I can compare what it was like before him and what it's like now.
Let me respond to that. I think Lynn Ellens is a person who's able to be influenced, and I think the gay evangelist Bill McCamley came in and influenced him. And I think that he is an absentee landlord, and he's not there when a lot of bad things are happening, and you're saying it's no big deal.
I'm not saying it's no big deal. I'm saying it's not something that he should be removed from office for. Those are two different standards.
You can't remove him. I'm saying should he resign?
Right, and I'm saying no.
I think that I don't know. I don't. I mean, I find it surprising that you're saying that he's brought a level of professionalism into.
Were you here when Ruben Ceballos was the clerk?
Fortunately or not, I was not around.
Okay. Well, a lot of your listeners were, and they'll understand what I was talking
about. Ruben might be a listener.
I hope Ruben, call in, defend yourself, because you were a horrible county clerk, anybody who was here when he was the clerk knows that.
Poor Ruben. All right, so what are we tracking on at the county level?
Well, what's coming next? I don't know. I mean, Julia Brown has been out of town all week, so she hasn't been able to, talk about all these things. Now, we do know that the budget is coming up, and so
what's going to happen?
And with the sheriff's department, that's what everybody wants to see.
Do you, Walt Rubel, approve of the secret a budget
process? No, I don't.
What can we do?
I don't know. I mean, all budget processes are secret.
All right, folks, don't worry. Just keep moving down the road.
Well, they are. All budget
Nothing
processes
happening here.
Are secret. What happened in the state legislature on Monday, all of that was worked out in secret, every single bit of it. When they tried to do it in open session, they couldn't.
Then you don't have a problem with a secret budget process.
Well, I have a problem with it, but I accept it because it doesn't get done.
All right, let me ask you this. Should the budget be kept secret from other county commissioners?
Oh, no, of course not.
That's ridiculous.
Of course.
All right. I've got.
Is that what Ben Rossin's saying?
That's what Ben Rossin said. It was sent up there and he hadn't seen it. I got to get Ben back on here because, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if that's going on, then of course not.
It's just absolutely ridiculous with some of the stuff that's going on. So anyway, any predictions or what changes do you think we could see in the future?
In the county?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Julia Brown, as far as I can tell, she came in and talked to us one time. And so that is it, sort of what I'm gauging on. I've had one sit down face to face. She comes across as somebody who is very competent, very intelligent, very experienced in life, ex-military, a lot of
you know, diverse background.
People are saying she's a bag lady that Sherry that
for
she's
who?
You know, going along and removing people. She's the Grim Reaper.
Oh, well, maybe people need to be removed. I mean, I've got no problem with that. I think that there's some people who have been at the county for years that should have been, you know.
Well, we got 30 seconds. Whatever happened to RJ?
Did he come in?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I was hoping that, boy, I was really hoping he'd come in last week. That would have been
I've never heard from him again. I give him another call, but I have no idea what's going on. But we got to get Kiki back on and Mark D'Antonio. Okay. Folks, thanks for listening in. You've been listening to Walt Rubel, Kelly O'Connell on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And we're going to do it again tomorrow. And I've got Gil Sorg got a hold of me and said he wanted to come on the show. And so we're going to have him on. I don't think it'll be this week, but I got some more great shows lined up for you. And anyway, hope you have a great day. I hope we get some more rain and meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao.